بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن سعيد بن عبد العزيز، عن ربيعة بن يزيد، عن أبي إدريس الخولاني، عن أبي ذر جندب بن جنادة رضي الله عنه، عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يروي عن الله تبارك وتعالى أنه قال: يا عبادي، إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا. يا عبادي، كلكم ضال إلا من هديت فاستهدوني أهدكم. يا عبادي، كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمت فاستطعموني أطعمكم. يا عبادي، كلكم عار إلا من كسوت فاستكسوني أكسكم، إلى آخر الحديث. Continuing with this hadith, hadith Qudsi, the section we were discussing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses His slaves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses every one of us on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah says that, O my slaves, every one of you was hungry without food except whom I fed. So seek your sustenance from me and I will feed you. O my slaves, every one of you is without clothing except whom I clothed, I gave shelter to. So seek your clothing from me and I will clothe you. This concept of seeking one's risk, one's sustenance, one's clothing, etc. Basically every need we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, Allah is the only doer. Whatever is happening through the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, in bringing things into existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally does it through a parda, through a veil of the asbab and means in this world. Our sustenance, our risk, or seeking this, on the one hand, person has a shop, he has a job, he makes some sort of effort, a farmer does agriculture, etc. This does not negate the concept that we are seeking risk from Allah. We have to have this yaqeen and conviction that this shop or this job or this farming or agriculture, whatever it is, this is just asbab, means. Musabbibul asbab, the one who will give fruition to whatever means we will utilize, is Allah and Allah alone. Our risk and our sustenance Allah has taken upon Himself. So this concept, ulama ikram explain, one is we can seek our risk in the conventional manner, seek our sustenance in the conventional manner, that is whatever effort of dunya we are making. There is another way of seeking one's risk. Or look at it this way, a way by which whatever effort we are making can be supplemented, made easy. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many places in the Quran, for example, one or two verses I will recite, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. Quran mentions two things. Allah ta'ala says, if you bring iman, bring iman in the way iman is supposed to be brought, total, complete conviction on Allah. And thereafter you adopt taqwa and piety. What does Allah say? What will result? لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We will open up for you the barakat and the blessings of the heavens and the earth. So like shop, job, farming, agriculture, economy is a means of seeking one's risk, iman and taqwa is also a means. 5 times daily salah we hear in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person makes his 5 times daily salah regularly, Allah makes his risk and sustenance easy for him. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah says, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyiba." Allah says, if you do good deeds, whether male or female, if you do good deeds and you have iman, Allah says, فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will give you a pure and an easy life. One of the interpretations of this is that Allah will make your risk and your sustenance easy for you. What risk and sustenance we are going to get is already ordained. We can't change that. But these are asbab and means by which we can make it easy. Taqwa, piety, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah, my respected brothers, just like shop and job and industry is a means of seeking our sustenance, iman, taqwa and the obedience of Allah is also a means. The famous incident mentioned in Surah Kahf, what occurred between Khidr and Musa alayhi salam. Most of us would have heard the incident, and obviously there isn't time to go into the details. But there were three incidents which took place with Khidr alayhi salam when he interacted with Musa alayhi salam. One is they went on the boat. Khidr damaged the boat of the people who gave them a free ride. Musa alayhi salam found this very strange. Likewise, Khidr took the life of a young child. And the third incident, which is pertinent to what we are discussing, that they went to a village and they sought some shelter and some food from the people. The people refused to entertain them or even host them. As they were leaving the village, there was one wall that was falling down. Khidr alayhi salam repaired the wall. This was the final straw that broke the back. Musa alayhi salam couldn't comprehend this. These people refused to give us shelter. They refused to entertain us. They refused to host us. And here, there's a wall that is damaged in their village and you are repairing the wall for free. So, Musa alayhi salam, obviously, the condition that was made between Musa alayhi salam and Khidr was that you must not question my actions. Musa alayhi salam couldn't contain himself. Like I said, I'm cutting the incident short. Thereafter, he starts giving the explanation of the three things. And the explanation is mentioned in detail in the Quran. But like I said, this third thing, wherein he repaired the wall, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارِ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. That Khidr went on to explain that, O Musa, this wall, underneath this wall, there was a treasure, a khazana, which the parents of two yatim youngsters had hidden. Orphan youngsters, their parents had hidden a khazana underneath this wall. And if this wall fell down, that treasure would have been revealed. The wealth of these orphans would have been usurped. So to protect the legacy of these orphans, I fixed up this wall, I repaired this wall. What does Quran tell us? Why did this take place? Why did Allah protect the financial legacy of these two youngsters? What was unique about them? Clearly it is mentioned in the Quran, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. The parents of these youngsters were pious. They were obedient to Allah. The salah and the piety of the parents of these youngsters became the means of Allah protecting the future financial legacy of these youngsters. So taqwa, piety, we are worried. We are worried our children. Today people, many of us are not making effort of dunya because it is our need. If we stop making effort for dunya, we're going to go hungry, we're going to die. Majority of us, that's not the case in our situation. Allah has given us so much that some cases months can go, we don't have to earn. Some cases years can go, we don't have to earn. But what is driving us? The concern and worry for the next generation, to ensure the financial prosperity of our children. So one is we can slave after the dunya. There is another means that Allah gives us, that Quran gives us. Again, this means is illustrated in the incident of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi. Here also a famous incident, we would have heard about it. On one occasion, imagine, this was the Khalifa of the entire Muslim Caliphate. At that time, Islamic Caliphate had spread almost three continents, one ruler. His wife Fatima bint Abdul Malik, it is said this woman in history was unique. Unique in the sense that she had such a powerful lineage, such a dynasty that was linked to her, that it is difficult in the annals of history to find any other woman whose lineage is similar to this. She was Fatima bint Abdul Malik. Her father was a king. His father Marwan, in other words, her grandfather was a king. Her four brothers, each one of them in turn were khalifas and they were kings. And likewise, her husband was a king, a ruler. So from seven directions, this woman was linked to rulership. Such a powerful lineage she had. Yet, the condition in the home is such of the khalifa of the entire Islamic caliphate, that the occasion of Eid is coming and there isn't enough for her to purchase new clothes for the children for Eid. So what does she do? She goes to her husband and she says that I've thought of some tarkib by which We can get new clothes for the children for Eid. What you do is you request 1 month's advance salary. And from that money, I'll buy the clothes for the children. At least for Eid, they will have new clothes. And the next month, I will do some domestic chores. I'll sell some food, etc. Make some effort to meet the household needs. Umar bin Abdulaziz accepts the suggestion. Before I carry on, understand, his house, this is the condition. And the rest of the Muslim, and the rest of the caliphate, the rest of the populace, what is the situation? It was impossible to find one person to accept zakat also. It was impossible to find one person to accept zakat, such barakat and blessings. This was the barakah of adal, of justice. Nevertheless, he accepts the suggestion. He goes to Raja bin Haywa, who is the treasurer in his employ, tells him, give me 1 month's advance salary. Raja prepares a document, says, sign this and I will advance you the money. On it is written, I, Umar bin Abdulaziz, guarantee I will remain alive for 1 month. When he sees this, he bursts into tears, refuses to sign this, comes home, says to Fatima bint Abdul Malik that the children will have to go without new clothes on Eid, because from my halal income, I cannot meet this need, and I refuse to go to haram. Thereafter, he gathers his children and he addresses them. And he says to them, there were two roads in front of me. One is, I could have stolen from the pockets of others. I could have usurped the wealth of the populace. I would have kept you in luxury and comfort. In exchange for that, Allah would have given me Jahannam, and Jahannam I cannot bear. The other road that was in front of me was, I could teach you to connect yourself to Allah. I could teach you to connect yourself with Allah. I could teach you to bring your life unto Allah's obedience. Then in your time of need, you turn to the friend of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, wali, turn to him and he will fulfill every need. And then he recites the verse of the Quran, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah is the wali, Allah is the friend, Allah is the protector, Allah is the one who will fulfill every need of those who are salih, who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, this is the second road, this is the road I have chosen for you. In your time of need, read 2 rakat salah, make dua to Allah. Allah is your wali, Allah is your protector, as long as your life is on Allah's obedience. This hadith, coming back to the subject matter, Allah is saying, seek your rizq from me, I will provide for you. Seek your shelter from me, I will provide for you. Seek hidayat from me, I will give you hidayat. The asbab and means by which we seek it primarily is the obedience of Allah. The obedience of Allah. Come on to iman and taqwa. Allah will make our rizq easy for us. Allah will make our shelter easy for us. And from the verses we have heard, Allah will protect even our future generations. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.